Awesome. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. Welcome again this morning. Welcome those of you online, if you're watching from online. It's good to see all of you wonderful people here today here at New Life, where we make it our aim to make Jesus the center of our life, this church and the community in which we live. And as I'm going to invite you to turn to your Bibles, but before we get there and read, I want to share a little story with you, but it's Lamentations today will be our main text. Lamentations chapter 3. Go to Psalms. If you're unfamiliar where it might be, Psalms, then go over Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and a little bit further over past Isaiah, get past Jeremiah, and then here is Lamentations. All right, chapter 3 is where we're going to have our main text this morning. But I want to share something with you. Last week, one of our outside elders was, they were with us, Pastors Rick and Susan Bennett, and if you recall, if you were here, they had their table set up, their ministry table, their missionaries in the Navajo and the Apache Indian Reservation. And at the beginning of the service, they shared a little story about someone in their on the reservation who had been going through some hard times, had a radical surgery, single mother, two children, basically without a home. They had been helping her pay her apartment rent for the last couple of months, and they had decided, the leaders of that jewelry business that they made for them to bring this way to sell and for donations to be made, that all of the profits from that would go to this family. And her name's Amanda. And so she, Miss Susan, shared that story at the beginning of service, and she sent me a message. And after all of your donations and the things you gave last week to their table, those funds paid for Amanda and her children their rent for the next month for May. Yeah, that's what happened. That's where all those funds went to. Paid for her rent next month. And then they got a story. We were eating lunch and they got a story that their church happened to get together and say, "Hey, let's watch Pastor Rick preach today." So they got online and watched this service. So they heard Miss Susan say the things she said, and this lady Amanda did had no idea what was going on. And then so your giving in this church inspired their church after they watched. Those folks got together and filled Amanda's apartment with food in her pantry and in her fridge. Because get this, Amanda herself, the mother, had not eaten in 2 days. She made sure her two kids were eating. They were out of food. But here we are in Jackson, Denmark, Tennessee, gathering, buying jewelry, purchasing, making donations. Your giving inspired their church to also give. Not only is her rent paid, but she's got food and groceries to feed her whole family. And this is a text. I don't know if you can see it fully on the screen, but it said this. This is what Amanda sent to Miss Susan. She was telling her kids this. This is love. Looking at all the groceries that were given. This is God. I sat with my two kids telling them to keep having faith. That He is our provider. He is my strength. From having nothing to having this. I am thankful, I am blessed, I love each of you. I sit here in the living room saying, this is love, this is God. That feels pretty special to know that to us might not have been a big deal. Miss Susan was telling me some of you handed her a $100 bill and you were buying $5 gifts saying, keep the change. May not be a big deal for you to drop $100, but what you did changed a person's life. Change two children to see that the eyes of God are looking down on them. That they're not forgotten. That they're not forsaken. This is love. This is God. And that is God being faithful. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord today for giving us the means to do that? For answering that need the way He did? It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And this brings us to our text today, Lamentations 3, verse 22-24. First, it's going to be in the New Living Translation, and then I'm going to read it from the Message Translation. First, Lamentations 3:22 says, "The faithful," everyone say faithful, "the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the prophet says, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in Him. And the message says it a little bit different. Look at it this way. It says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I got left. Come on, somebody. At the end of the day, when you have no food in your house, when your bills are due and things are going crazy and pressure of life is pushing against you, who you got? God. He's all I got. And He says, I'll say it over and over and over again. I'm going to stick with God because God's been sticking with me. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. And we are so thankful for who You are and what You've done. And how You continue to show Yourself over and over again to our lives. We ask You, Lord, to speak to us today through Your Word. Let us hear what we need to hear. And I ask, oh God, that You would fill my heart and my mouth to feed Your people so that You get glory and we get what we need from You today in Jesus' name. Everyone can say amen and amen. I was been praying for you this week, and in prayer, I had a direction I was going to go in with a message, and in prayer that changed, and I just felt really stirred to pray for you this week, for all of us, for you to be reminded and reassured that God is faithful. That simple statement, but yet it has such profound impact and effect in our life. I know all of you, different ones, you got different things that are going on. Some of you have had some emergencies this week. Some of you have had doctor's appointments. Some of you have had things happen that I don't even know about. And I've been praying for all of you in different ways, for different things, for God to show Himself strong. But one of the things He impressed upon me was just to encourage you today, to remind you and to reassure you that God is faithful, that He is not distant, but He is near. He has not forsaken you, but He is with you. He hasn't abandoned you, but He's for you, and He's not against you. And I want to encourage you, and I pray that your heart and your spirit can catch a hold and be open enough to receive the reminders of the Holy Spirit to your life today that, you know, no matter what, God is still who He is, that He is still faithful. You know, the Psalm 136 declares this, not one time, not two times, not even a dozen times, but 26 times, Psalm 136 says, the faithful love of the Lord endures forever. And in Psalm 89:8, it reminds us of this. He says, the Lord is entirely faithful. God cannot be any other thing but faithful. And His love and His faithfulness endures from generation to generation and forever. Nothing can outlast the faithfulness of God. Nothing can exhaust the faithful love of the Lord for your life. I mean, when He created humanity, He breathed into humanity and He said, this is good. This is good. And He's done all He can. And all He will continue to do to show us who He really is, that He is faithful. You know, God expresses His faithfulness in a variety of different ways. And today I want to share six expressions of God's faithfulness. Six expressions of God's faithfulness with you today. Number one is this: God is faithful to do what He promises. Psalm 100, verse 5, out of the Passion, says it this way. Look at it. It says, for God is always good and ready to receive you. He's good and always ready to receive you. He's so loving that it will amaze you. So kind that it will astound you. Have you ever been so angry and mad at somebody that you just gave them the what for? And maybe that person's response was not to give it back to you, but was just simply to say, it's okay. I love you anyway. You ever had that kind of encounter with a person? Did that not just astound you and take you? I mean, you were ready to fight. You were ready to scrap. You were ready to throw down with some words. You were going to give them the finger pointing and all the other things, the snaps and the head snapping and all the other things that you could give them. You probably thought of a few places to tell them where they could go. But in their response was just, it's okay. I love you. It's all good. And it takes your breath away. That is God all day long. 24/7, 365, generation after generation, for the word goes on to say that he is famous for his faithfulness toward all. God is famous for his faithfulness toward all. It says, everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. God is faithful to do what he promises. The scriptures are full of promises from God, and they come to pass in Christ Jesus into our life. Two promises that I want to remind you of today is Romans 8:28. And it says this, and we know that God causes everything, everyone say everything. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. God is faithful to turn and take everything and make it turn into good for us who love him and who are living for his purpose for our life. God is faithful to always do that. He specializes in doing that. No matter what it might be, everything, he is able to cause it all to work together for good. And he reminds us another promise in Revelation 22:20. He says that he is faithful. He is the faithful witness to all these things. And Jesus says, I am coming soon. He is faithful to keep his promise to work everything out for our good, for those who love him and are living for his purpose. And he is faithful to keep his promise that he is returning and coming again. That he has not forgotten this world. He has not forgotten his people. He has not forgotten that there is a time and there is a moment that is set between the Father and him. At one point in time, it's all going to come down together. It's all going to happen. Jesus is going to return. And then ultimately, the new heaven and a new earth will be created by him. And all things in our life will no longer be filled with what we presently feel on this earth, but everything will be perfect, once again restored. His promises are good. You and I can always count on his promises. When God promises to do something, he will always come through with it. What has God promised you? What has God spoke to you through his word? What has God spoken to you prophetically? What has God whispered in your heart that he said, I will do it? His promises will be kept. He will keep his promises from generation to generation. He is faithful to do what he promises. Here's another one. Number two, God is faithful to forgive my sins. God is faithful to forgive my sins. 1 John 1:9, he writes, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. God is faithful to forgive my sins. The Greek word there for forgive has this meaning in it. It means to send away, to let go, to not discuss, to omit. Sins, the Greek word there, means anything that causes us to miss the mark with God, anything that causes us to wander from the Lord and be lost, anything that causes us to be mistaken, that we might be right and God would be wrong. John says, God is faithful and just to send away, let go, no longer discuss, and omit all the things in our life that cause us to wander, to miss the mark, to be mistaken, if we will just confess and be open and honest before Him and say, Lord, forgive me. I have sinned. I have fallen short. And I want to encourage you in these thoughts. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has come. A new life has begun. So in Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. They're omitted. They are not discussed with Him. They are let go. They are sent away. Just think about it. So if you struggle living under regret and condemnation, you need to know firsthand that is not the Lord. The Lord does not condemn. The Lord sets you free. The Lord forgives. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so if you ever struggle having a bad day because your faults are magnified in your face and in your eyes and in your mind, you need to understand that is not the Lord. Yes, the Holy Spirit brings about conviction and can bring about remorse, but it leads to repentance. And when we repent and we confess our faults before the Lord, He is faithful and just to wipe them away and omit them and to send them away and not to even discuss them anymore. Whatever causes you and I to stumble, whatever causes you and I to have a life that is in fault continually, whatever that is, you name it, it's there. We all will miss the mark every day. We all will fall short every day. But here's the thing, we don't have to live under condemnation. And you don't have to try to make yourself be good in order to receive God's love. It's God's love that causes us to live good. Okay? It's His love expressed to us that causes us to want to live good for Him. You don't have to try to perform for Him. He is faithful to forgive. He is faithful to forgive. Number three, God is faithful. God is faithful to me in trials. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 on the screen in the Passion Translation. It says this, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and He will filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial that you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust Him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. Every trial that you and I go through, every test that we deal with, the Scripture reminds us that God is faithful to us. And that in that, He equips us to bear it, but He also makes it to where we will trust Him more and more and more so that as we persevere, He brings us out victorious. God's intent with tests and trials is never to destroy us. The enemy will use those things to get us down, to get us discouraged. And man, if he can get us discouraged, then he causes us to not look up to the Lord from where our help comes from. When we get discouraged, it causes us to look down. It causes us to look to things in this earth, things of this world. It causes us to look to people, causes us to look to maybe ourselves, to try to pull ourselves out. You know, the old adage, God only helps those who helps themselves, is not in the Bible. He helps those who look to Him. call out to Him, revere Him, fear Him, love Him, and serve Him. He's a rescue, very present help in time of trouble. He's our refuge. He's our refuge. So I want to encourage you in the trials that you may are facing right now, the testings that you may be enduring right now, just hold fast, hold steady, keep going. As Brandon admonished us at the opening of our service, keep looking to Jesus, keep looking ahead, keep your eyes on Him. Because the enemy really does want to ransack you, and he wants to get you to not look up. He wants you to look elsewhere. Because if he can get our eyes off of Jesus, and he knows, man, we won't carry on with what God has for us. And I want to remind you today, God is faithful to you in your trials. Your trials and your testings are not necessarily because you did something bad or you did something wrong. Man, life is hard sometimes, is it not? Life is just flat out challenging sometimes. Man, and then wouldn't you know it, that life has curveballs. Life has unexpected things that happen. And I'll just say it because sometimes we think it. Life sucks sometimes. Because of what we have to face and what we have to deal with. But I want to remind you that God is faithful to you in your trials. Don't stop pressing in when you're pressed against. Because when you're pressed against, that is the best time to keep pressing in. Because here's what happens a lot of times with people, with believers, is we get pressed against. Well, maybe I just need to not press in so hard next time. I don't like that pressure. Nobody likes that kind of pressure. I don't sign up for pressure every day. I sign up for peace and comfort and ease, don't you? I like AC and when it's hot and heat when it's cold. I like running water to turn on when I turn my faucet, and I don't like it to leak in my pipes. Right? I like comfort just like the rest of us. But man, when we're pressed against, that is the prime time to press in even more. Press in even more. God is faithful to us even in our trials. Hebrews 4:14 and 16 says this, that we have a great high priest who has entered heaven. His name is Jesus. So let us hold firmly to what we believe, that this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. Jesus understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings that we do, but he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us in our time of need. We get the grace and the mercy and the help that we need, not from turning to anything else but to the Lord. Turn to him. Turn your eyes upon him. Look to him. Tell your heart and your soul that you're going to seek the face of God, that you're not going to try to handle life out of your own wit and wisdom, but you're going to seek the wisdom that God can give you. You're going to seek the direction that God has before you. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He always has, and he always will. Be encouraged today, be reminded today that God is faithful to us in our trials. Number four, God is faithful. You guys still with me? God is faithful to keep me strong to the end. God is faithful to keep me strong to the end. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7 says, now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful to keep us strong until the end. The word partnership there, it says God has invited us into partnership with Jesus. Who is Jesus? The Son of God, the Lamb of God, who came to sacrifice his life for the sins of the world, who is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God and who will one day come back and save all of us and recreate it all new, restore it, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God calls us into partnership with Him. The word partnership is the Greek word koinonia. That word is used a couple times in the New Testament. I shared about it a couple of weeks ago on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That word partnership is the same Greek word for fellowship in right there. It's also the same word for fellowship in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost and the church, 3,000 people got saved, and it said all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and prayer and to fellowship with one another. That word means close, mutual relationship and involvement. So how does God keep us strong to the end? When we accept that partnership, that close mutual relationship and involvement of Jesus Christ in our life. People gonna let you down. Our expectations of other people will always be messed up. Jesus will never let us down. And God calls us into partnership with Him, into a close mutual relationship and involvement. And He says He will be faithful to keep us strong to the end. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. For God will make this happen, for He who calls you is faithful." Can I live for the Lord in these last days of life? In the last days of this earth, can we really be strong for God? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We don't have to be a part of the group of people who fall away from the Lord. We can remain strong to the end, but we don't do it out of our own accord. We do it out of the joint partnership as being co-heirs with Christ, Him living in us, Him reigning in us, His authority being expressed in our life, Him being the center of us. Paul writes there to the Thessalonian believers that God will keep you strong. May, he says, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Every aspect of our life, our thoughts, our emotions, our will, our personality, our all of us, our ambition, all of us, our bodies, we can stay faithful and strong to the end. But we don't do it on our own. We do it out of partnership in Christ, letting Christ take over our life. Truly letting Jesus take over our life. He writes to the Thessalonians in the second chapter, 3. He says, "The Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you, and He will guard you from the evil one." All the different things you and I deal with and face, personally, our families, you know, the more people we know, the more problems we hear about. The more burdens are shared, it can get overwhelming, can't it? It can really get overwhelming. It can really get tough. That's why some people choose to isolate and live away from others. Don't want to have to deal with everybody else's problems. Don't want to have to wear the burdens or bear the burdens, as we're told in the New Testament, of one another. But friends, somebody's bearing your burden. There are co-burden bearers in this room today. There are people to your left and your right, in front of you and behind you, that are caring and helping you with the burdens that you bear. Because when we gather together and we worship and we praise and we pray and we sit under the teaching of God's Word, the Holy Spirit knits our hearts together. Because then we pray for, we're mindful to pray for one another throughout our weeks and throughout our days. I dare say we're probably prayed for more than we realize. I do think we should try to tell some people, hey, I've been praying for you, more than we probably do. I was listening to a testimony. It's been a long time ago, but I was listening to this testimony about prayer. And this was a pastor who was in a meeting, a kind of a fellowship type meeting. And he had some church members. There was someone who was demon possessed, and some leaders were meeting to cast that demon out of this person. And they shot this pastor a text and say, "Will you pray real quick for us?" And this pastor's in the middle of a thing with other people. He's like, he can't just like get down on his knees and have an hour of prayer time right there. So what he shares in this testimony was he whispers under his breath, "God, help them. And then he goes on with his meeting. Well, he gets a call later and gets the update about it. And they said that that person was completely delivered from the demon possession. Completely delivered. And he said, All I did was throw up a prayer real quick. God, deliver them in Jesus' name." Never underestimate the whisper of your prayer. Oftentimes I'll tell God, "I don't know what to say right now, but you know the cry of my heart." He can reach in and feel in your soul what is going on, what is agonizing you, what is weighing down on you, what is pressing against you. God has a way to feel the pulse of your heart. In your soul, God, you know the cries. Hear the psalmist would often say in the Psalms, "God, hear the cries of my heart." Don't underestimate praying for other people and the power that exists in it. Amen. God is faithful to keep you strong. Number five. God is faithful to supply my needs. Philippians 4:19. Paul writes, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Jesus taught it this way in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? And David said this in famous Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." All that I need. God is faithful, friends, to supply all of our needs. If he can do it for Amanda in Arizona, who had no clue when she was going to eat again, suddenly her pantry and her fridge is full. Her rent is paid. Well, I don't even know the mileage distance from there to here. It's a long ways, about 2,000 miles maybe from their area to here. 2-hour time difference. Takes about 2.5 days to drive if you're going to sleep a little. This is reality. God cares. God cares. He cares. And he knows. He knows what you have going on. He knows exactly what your heart is feeling. He cares. Don't give up on Him. Don't stop believing that God loves you, that He cares for you. He will meet you. He will meet you. He will meet you right where you are. He knows what you have need of. He knows what you have need of. There's some things that are bothering you, and it's kind of driving you crazy. Lord says, don't you quit believing me. Don't stop believing in me. Amen. I swear if I was Stephen Perry and I could sing, I would sing that song right now. Anybody else thought of that song when I just said that? Don't stop believing. I can't, so I won't. God just, He wants to reassure you He's faithful. If there's anybody who can hang with you and understand you and still be good to you, we can all be a little cray-cray sometimes, is God. He's got things set up for you. He's got things set ahead for you. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. God is faithful to supply our needs because He's our Father and He's our Shepherd. He knows where to lead us. He knows where to take us. He knows who to put in our path. Worship team, if you guys don't mind to come on up. So I told you six expressions, number six of God's faithfulness. God is faithful to finish His work in my life. God is faithful to finish His work in my life. Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this gracious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll end the way we started. Lamentations 3:22, 23 and 24 reminds us that God's faithfulness is great and that His mercies are new every single day. And I want to encourage you in that today, that God is faithful to finish what He started with you. He's faithful to finish what He started with you. The work He has began, He's not done. He's not through. His timing and His pace may fluctuate depending on what He's doing in us and through us. But trust the process of what God has been working on in your life. Trust the process. Trust the one who is in control. Trust the one who is in control. Paul wrote to his young son, Timothy, in the faith. He said this in 2 Timothy 1. He says, I have no regrets. I couldn't be more sure of my ground. But the one that I've trusted in can take care of what He's trusted me to do right to the end. And the psalmist in Psalm 27 says, I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am right here in the land of the living. Right before that, he said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see goodness of the Lord. Friends, what are you believing today? Where's your faith today? Where's your trust? Where's your hope today? If you've gotten off track, if you seem to kind of get beat up recently and got the breath knocked out of you, kind of forgot the orientation of where you needed to be. You have found it today. You're here. God wants to remind you that He is not way, way far away, but He is right here in your midst, reminding you that He is faithful. Will you stand with me? We're going to come together to pray. But I've been asked to lead our church in a prayer. Before we pray together, I've been asked to lead our church in a prayer. The Carl Perkins Center for Prevention of Child Abuse sent us a letter this week. They sent it to all churches across West Tennessee, asking the churches on this day, this Sunday, it's called Blue Sunday, to join together to pray and to stand in agreement against the fight of child abuse. And they've asked all the churches to take time in their Sunday morning services to pray as one for the victims of child abuse, for those who work with, care for, and educate the families of those that have been in child abuse, to this simple prayer, to ask God for His protection over children and to help create and place them in an environment where they can be safe and loved. So will you just bow your heads and pray with me for these today? Lord, we come before You today as part of the local church and joining churches all across West Tennessee who have prayed and are praying. We lift up these young folks to You, these children, Lord, all in all these different counties and even in our own county, who are victims of child abuse, who've been hurt and injured, neglected, some having to live in it in secrecy due to fear of what may happen to them. We ask You, Lord, reach their hearts. Reach their hearts today. Bring healing, salvation, deliverance unto them. Put them in an environment and a loving home where they will be loved, cared for, nurtured, and healed. We pray for those who work and serve in these situations to rescue them and train and educate families. God, put the right words in their mouths. Put compassion in their hearts. Strengthen compassion in their hearts as they can get weary from seeing the destruction all around them every day. Strengthen Your workers. Strengthen these volunteers to carry on and to not grow weary in well-doing. Protect them and protect Your little ones. For You told Your disciples, Jesus, don't shun these children from Me. Come, let them hang on Me, play with Me, ask Me questions. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Be big in these lives, we pray. Answer the prayers of Your people, Your church, all across West Tennessee. In Jesus' name.